Good stuff. How are we all doing? Chris said we're not got up here. I should be excited about this morning. I'm excited. Who's excited with me? There we go. So today we're going to start a new series called What Happened? That's not how I did it. Mine looks better than that. A skewed view. Okay. So anyway, we'll have to fix the slide up there, but mine looks right on my page. Yeah, that is a very skewed view. I don't know what happened. Anyway, so we will start a series called A Skewed View. If you turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Colossians, please. That's very skewed. It's more skewed than I thought. No, listen. This way is clever. That's like messed. Okay. So Colossians, I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures, and they're just a little bit to help us to understand something, and then we're going to get into the I sound like Chris now, don't I? Okay, Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you, for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the deep glory of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And we'll stop there. And I want to just point out a couple of theological things, because when you read that, because when I read it first, I was like, I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. That's not what it means. And so sometimes we have a skewed view because our series this over the next couple of weeks is going to be, we think it's one thing, but it's actually another. Or we've been taught it's one thing, but it's actually another. And sometimes we just go through, and I'm missing out exactly what I didn't want to miss out, so let me just go back. So Paul was saying he was able to, through his sufferings, was being worked in him something that was good, so that his sufferings were for Christ and other Christians and the Colossian church. Because the term affliction of Christ here is never associated, and we need to understand this, never associated with the redemptive suffering of Jesus upon the cross. Our suffering has got nothing to do with Christ's redemptive work. There is no shortfalling in Jesus' suffering on the cross. Jesus died and paid for our sins completely in full. It speaks rather of the ministerial sufferings of Paul because he represented Jesus Christ. So when you go and you say, I want to tell you about Jesus, and they slam the door in your face or say, I don't want to hear about it, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Jesus. And I know we're human, so we feel so rejected. Well, they just wouldn't listen to me, and they slammed the door in my face, and I just felt it. I don't know what to do. No, they weren't rejecting you. They were rejecting Jesus. And that was Paul was saying. My sufferings were working something in me because I was representing Christ. And sometimes, you know, we did James the Authentic. We studied the book of James, and it says suffering produces perseverance and joy in our sufferings. So sometimes, next time someone rejects you for the sake of the gospel, you should walk away and go, yeah, baby. That's what it's all about. We got to have joy in that. No, not I feel so terrible, I feel all about me. The mystery is this, that he talks about the mystery, that God had designed for the grant to the Gentiles the same privileges as the Jews to be part of the family of God. That's the whole secret of the mystery. The point I want to make of reading this whole thing is that Paul was a steward of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and so are we stewards of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how are you stewarding the gospel of Jesus Christ? bringing the discipleship through into maturity. And that's what I love Janine's word this morning. Forget about stuff that happened to you. Don't look back. Look forward. You can't do anything about your past. But we can certainly help and move forward in our destiny, in our future, what God has got for us. Ephesians 4:14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. And so that's just a little quick intro to us to understand that when we are rejected, we are rejected on behalf of Jesus Christ. When we suffer on behalf of Jesus Christ. When we step into the things of God, we got to see that we're doing it with maturity and being mature, and that we are going forward, and that we are not feeling there's something wrong with us, because this world is at war with us. Cherie had a dream the other night, I don't know when it was, and she shared it with me this morning. She said that there was a ladies' meeting taking place in here, and everything was great going on inside, and then all of a sudden, there were bombs and a war going on outside. And where she started to tell me, I knew exactly what the Lord was saying. And then people started to stream in here. The people need authenticity. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a war out there. I've said this many times. As Christians, we are more under attack now than we've ever been before. And some by violence, some by death, some by beatings, and in Canada mostly by polite smiles. We're looking for the serpent of old, but it's not. It's sly and it's cunning human stuff. That sounds good. Yeah, that sounds right. Oh, I like that. I've said many times, good philosophy is sometimes just not good Bible. And we have to know what that means. And so this part of the series is learning to draw nearer to God, to understand some of the stuff where mostly we say, what was that all about? And this is a great launch for the series of what Chris preached last week. What's going on around here? I'm not sure. And the problem is the church today is more under attack, as I've said. And when we increasingly, our generation wants to take a religion out of the realm of rational discourse and relegate it to the area of personal preferences. Like we have 25 different flavors of candy in the candy shop. So we therefore, it seems okay and all right that we got 25 different flavors of religion and philosophy. That's humanism. It's not right. Thank you. Tyrone says this. He uses Nehemiah as an example of Nehemiah was on the wall, building the kingdom. We are on the wall building the kingdom, and there's these two guys, Tobiah and Sanballat, that kept coming around and saying to them, come off the wall, come and do what we want to do. And when Nehemiah wouldn't, what did they do? They got angry. They got upset with him, and they rejected him. Does that sound familiar? Nothing has changed in all these thousands of years. When we don't see it, this new way, the new age way, because sometimes that sounds cool. But when we don't understand it, we have a skewed view. And I'm telling you this morning, stay on the wall. Don't be sidelined by Sanballat and the Tobiah of the world. Stay on the wall, building the kingdom, following Jesus, listening to the author and the perfecter of our faith. And here's a little bit of a reality. We can only draw near to God at the level of our comfort. Because there is stuff about God that sometimes causes us fear and rejection. And there are places we say, I'm not going there. And often we reject things about God that aren't even in the Bible. Ask some of your friends and your works at college and at school what they think of church. what they think of God, what they think of Christianity, and you'll go away with a whole new, oh my word. They have a skewed view. We shouldn't be surprised at the responses and misconceptions of what they think of it, because these are the things that keep them from God, because they have a skewed view. And we, Colossians 1, we are the stewards of that word. And that's why at the Bridge, we want to connect all people to encounter God's word and spirit. Not a new philosophy, not a great idea, not something that we think is cool, but what God says. And so we have to understand that nothing much has changed. So this is a little bit of the story that Jesus comes to earth. His Father sends him to earth, and he comes and he dies on a cruel cross. He takes all our sin upon himself. He is buried, he is resurrected after the third day, and then he goes around for 40 days speaking to and engaging people in his glorified body. And then he says to a bunch of them, by the way, I want you to go and hang out in this room for a while, 10 days, because there's something going to happen that you're going to need for the future. And they go, I wonder what it is. Maybe some of them said it. Maybe some of them got angry. Some of them maybe go, oh, this is ridiculous. What are we hanging around here for? I don't know. But he says, go there. And then on the 50th day, the day we call Pentecost, the day the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit descended upon people, and we get again skewed view of pictures of cloven tongues of fire. It says like cloven tongues of fire. We don't know what it, like the dove descended upon Jesus, the Holy Spirit. It was, you know, sometimes I think when they're describing all these words, they don't have anything true to describe it. And so now we run around going, we want tongues of fire to fall upon our head again. Holy Spirit has come. He didn't go away. He is here. That was when he came to earth. And he came and he descended like cloven tongues of fire upon their heads. And they all broke out of the room, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all broke out of the room, and they were running around speaking in strange languages and behaving, acting like they were drunk. So this morning we want to speak about Holy Spirit. I hope you've figured that out by now. And this is what happened. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? And others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. And it's just like that today. And I know we mess it up sometimes when we meet people who don't know Jesus Christ, and we give them religious jargon. He was slain in the Spirit. What does that mean? I don't know. Old Testament term slain means he was killed. Come on, work with me. We have to learn to speak modern day language, not religious jargon, because then they're going to go, I don't know what this is at. I don't know what's going on around here. You people are weird. Work with me, come on. And others were mocking. You know, the best form of attack or defense is attack when you don't understand something. I mean, when you don't know what's going on, You just, something rises up in you, and I've got to protect myself. I don't know what's going on. I've got to do this. People were often amazed and perplexed at Christianity. Often we don't understand what's going on or acknowledge the stuff that's going on, because it's taking us out of our comfort zone. And I'm fully engaged and aware that when I say to us, let's stand up and let's raise our hands, some of you are going, not so much. I'm uncomfortable with that. It's biblical. Do you want to follow Bible? Yeah, okay, let's get biblical. Because all the raising your hands is saying is not like, look at me. It says, I surrender to you, God. I'm not surrendering to the preacher up here. I'm not surrendering to those around. I'm surrendering to you, God. I'm just saying, yes, God. Holy hands, lifting up holy hands, Scripture says, New Testament. I was like that guy. I've told you my testimony. I went into the church, into a charismatic church, and they were, a lady, a new lady, was dancing here today, and Dom was waving a flag, and kids were running around. Man, I was like, I'm like, if I hold my hands to myself, then I'm not going to hurt anybody. I'm just like uncomfortable with this whole thing. And they weren't singing hymns. They were singing loud songs with guitars and drums. And it's starting to tell you how old I am. And then the one sweet lady came over. She says, that feeling that you have in your heart is the Holy Spirit. I was like, yeah, get away. I'm being honest. And then I said to Bridget, I said, listen, babes, I'll come to this church. You got to keep the crazies away from me because I don't like it. And then they said to me, Mark, we looked at your personality, and Bridget loves to be on the door and greet people, so husbands and wives work together and you can be on the door to greet people. I said, heck no, I'm not doing that. So we had two entrances like we do here, so I said, okay, I'll take the little entrance. Ah, get inside. Now I'm one of the crazies. I know. Isn't that good? Yeah, okay, so let's go on. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifting up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ears to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, as you think this is what's going on here. Since it is only the third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. You guys should know the word. You should know the Torah. You should know that this was prophesied in the Old Testament, that this was going to happen. Now it's happening, and now you're all freaking out. That's what Peter was saying. It's only 9 and they're not drunk. It's not what you are. I'm here to tell you what's different. I'm here to explain to you what's really going on. And that's our heart for the next couple of weeks, for us to look at some things. Some of you, perhaps, when you first came to the bridge, or if you're visiting today, you think, yeah, you guys are a little bit weird. Just hang with us fine, and you'll turn around and go, yeah, we like it. We like these people. They're nice people. Peter quotes from Old Testament and tells them this is what's revealed and what's going to be happening. Because Peter was helping them to change their skewed view. You've been waiting for this to happen. Now it's happening before you. On our recent trip to South Africa, I met a guy who was, so you're a pastor, right? She said, yeah, I don't like church. I don't think God's good either. I said, oh, why is that? And like me, he'd spent a couple of years in the military and saw and did bad stuff. And then he said, yeah, no, but the church I grew up in, my dad was like one of the leaders in the church. And then he'd go home and he'd drink and get drunk and beat my mom up and beat us kids up. And says, and then the deacons of the church used to come around on the first week of the month. And they didn't matter if you've been to church or not. And they'd collect the tithes from them at the door. Maybe we should try that here. I'm joking. He thought the church was one thing. He thought God was one thing. Why? Because of the experience he'd had. And some of you have had bad experiences. And some of you have been taught bad stuff. Let's just be honest. Maybe I've taught you some bad stuff. I hope not. But what it's meant to be is totally different. And many of you still have a skewed view of Holy Spirit. Because we can Father, Son, we get all that stuff, but Holy Ghost is a bad actual fact translation of the words Holy Spirit. So what Holy Spirit is not? Let's just get that out the way. He's not an it. He is the third person of the Trinity. John 14:17. Even the Spirit of truth, when the world cannot accept him. So God was thinking ahead. Eh? When the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And as amazing as Dom came up and said this morning, Father and Son are in heaven. Holy Spirit, Father and Son are in us through the Spirit, through the Trinity and all that stuff. But Holy Spirit lives and abides with us and in us. And that's why we say, from a theological point of view, we don't have to beg and ask him to come, because the minute you walked in the door, he came. It's not like he hangs around here and waits for you to come to church on Sunday. Wherever you go, you take Holy Spirit with you. So when you're doing strange, weird, funny stuff, he knows. Oh, I wish you hadn't said that. If you see Holy Spirit as some weird cosmic force, that's how you're going to relate to him. But if you see him as a person, the third person, divine person of the Trinity, that's how you'll relate to him. Ghost, as I said, is a bad translation. The correct, better translation is spirit, which means pneuma, refreshing breath of fresh air, wind in your sails. Holy Spirit is not weird. God is not weird. Jesus is not weird. People are weird because of a skewed view. I honestly don't think people come along and think, well, let me see how weird I can be till I can impress all these people. No, I think it's just out of a heart of overflow, wanting so much to be part of God and Holy Spirit and life. And sometimes we just take scripture and we just like stretch it like elastic. It's going to spring back sometime. Just remember, his word is truth. Jesus' name is truth. All the power and dunamis revolves in him and resides in him. Remember the power of the Holy Spirit as opposed to the packaging of the Holy Spirit. You're not Casper the friendly ghost. So now that we've got that out the way, who is he? He is my inner voice. He is a holy inner voice to us that you have access to if you engage with him and don't keep him at a distance. I don't understand her. I think that was one of Janine's clear words this morning. Engage with Holy Spirit. Engage with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I'm sorry to keep reminding us of it. He's working this morning. But Ken, flick the switch. When you put the plug into the power source, you cannot but help get the power. But if you make a choice and keep the switch off, I don't feel it. Well, I watch you in worship, you like. And worship is not just singing songs, worship is engaging. Anyone heard this expression, 9:57? Okay, you're all quiet now. Do you need reminding what that means? Be at church at 9:57 because we start at 10. It's a whole new sermon, I know. The conversation at the Last Supper went something like this. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, I'm going to just take a little detour here on this one, because the word convict in the Greek is elenchio, which means to convince someone of the truth, to reprove, to refute, or cross-examine a witness. And I know, because some of us go, oh, the Bible says the Holy Spirit can convict us, and immediately your thought is going, I'm being condemned because he's convicting me, because you've gone convict and condemned as the same word, and they are not. What conviction is not? Conviction is not a guilty conscience or shame over sin. Wow. It's not a sense of trepidation or a foreboding of divine punishment. If you sin, God's going to punish you. Wagging that big finger of his at us. If you sin, he's going to get you one day. These feelings are all natural experience for almost everybody. Because we bring guilt upon ourselves. Holy Spirit doesn't convict us and make us feel guilty. He's bringing light to us. He's bringing life to us. True conviction of sin is something totally different. It's not just a mere acknowledgement of right and wrong. It's not just an assent of scripture teachings. What is it then, Mark? Because many people, you read the Bible and you're fully aware what the Bible says about sin. And we know that it says the immoral, the impure, and the greedy persons have no inheritance in the kingdom. Yet we continue to do that. The truth is, we experience nothing more than just a pang of conscience or anxiety at the thought of judgment. Because you have this idea that when I sin, God's going to judge me and he's convicting me, condemning me. Because we forget there's another scripture that says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Well, can I just sin and just behave like a fool? No, you can't. Because conviction and grace teaches us to say no to sin. But our minds have been so seared. What is real conviction, the kind the Bible speaks of? We're still on a little sidebar here. It's when I'm convicted, when the light is revealed to me and I understand and know the goodness of God, that I feel, wow, what did I just do? When we see His purity and His holiness, and we recognize sin cannot dwell with God. Isaiah chapter 6, he says, I am a man of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King. When we are convicted, it's to that utter dreadfulness of sin. Not condemning you. Not condemnation. I know some of you, this is difficult to get your heads around. When the Holy Spirit convicts people of their sin, He represents the righteousness of God. What He is saying is there is a better way. This is light in life. Walk here. Don't walk here. Because if you go and study that, that really, when the elencho, that Greek means, it says He convicts us of our unbelief in Jesus Christ. Because we can't just say, well, I believe Jesus for this, and I believe Jesus for that, but I don't believe Him for that. He either is our Savior and Lord and Master, or He's not. This is not 25 flavors of candy that we get to choose from. He will be that strong inner voice that says, don't do this, don't walk that way. I'll just do it and I'll repent afterwards. That's foolishness. When we hear a positive call for surrender or ministry and your heart is pounding, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That's like saying, if I switch the stove on, I know I'm going to get burnt if I put my hand on it, but I'm just going to try it out anyway. Calling doctor. Why? Because we know. Why do we do that with our lives? We know that to sin is going to damage us. That's why God hates sin. Because it damages His people. 1 Corinthians 12:3. No one can say Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So that was just a little sidebar. Let's move on. Number two, He is my teacher. He will teach and reveal stuff to you that you haven't heard or read from in the Bible. Often Bridget and I would still, from when we got saved, till today, we would sometimes go, how did we know that? How did we know to do that? How did we know to honor like that? How did we honor not to go there or do that or say that? And then we'd react, well, who taught us that? And we'd go, no one taught us that. Holy Spirit taught us that. He will reveal to you and He will teach you if you will listen to Him. And when He guides you and leads you, take His lessons. Listen, He is the best teacher ever. John 14:26, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. He will remind you too. Sometimes the Lord says to you, Holy Spirit comes along and says to you, Kevin, Johnson, do this. And you go, yeah, no, I think it's not such a cool idea. Okay. Next week, next month, next year, Kevin Johnson, do this. Yeah, no. And he just keeps and keeps until you do that. Now, we all go around saying, oh, Lord, I want a prophetic word. He says, I gave you 5 already. You haven't done anything with them. Lord, lead me into something. He says, I told you to do this, this, and this, and this, and you didn't do it. Oh, but just give me another one. Because we think He's like our go-to guy. He's like our bellhop. We just, no, I don't like this room. Take me to another room. You know, this TV's not working so well. I need another room. So just be obedient. When He says to do stuff, just do it. He's your teacher. He's teaching you. 1 John 2:27, the New Living Translation says, but you have received the Holy Spirit and He lives within you. I don't know how clear that is. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true, for the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. Now don't get silly now, and you know the elastic thing of Scripture, well then I don't need to go to church and I don't need to listen to the pastor and I know, you know, I'm on my own mission with Jesus. No, that's counter Bible. Number 3, He is my God. He will guide you. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to guide you into your future, into your destiny, into your decisions for your business and for your family, and whatever decisions you need to make. Well, I only ask Him the big stuff. Why? You think He's not interested in the little stuff? Yeah, He's very interested in the little stuff. When I was called, John 16:3. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own. He will speak only what He hears and will tell you what is yet to come. So when we pray, we say, Lord, give me a word. And He gives you a word and you go, yeah, no, that's not from God. You just asked. He just answered. Of course, we need to align it up with Scripture. You know, God said, I should sleep with that guy, but I'm not married to him. No, God never said that. That's your foolishness. I don't know how to say it kindly. That's probably about the kindest way I can say it. When we were called into ministry, I had a too good to ignore offer. I requested, what did I write down here? Request that I had with my company had been denied for years. All of a sudden I got saved and I felt something was going to change in my life. And they came to me and said, oh yes, Mark, we've fixed things up. We want you now to move to another city and we want you to be there. We want you there. We built you this big office. And I just went ahead and did this whole thing. And after years of me asking, I turned around and said, no, I'm not in there. That's what's what I call career limiting speeches. And they said, oh, why not? So I explained. I just give my life to Jesus and I really feel I need to be here. And then when I got called into the ministry, I was told, give up what you're doing, we're going to ministry. A guy called me for lunch and I went to lunch and he sat down in front of me. He took out a check from the company, he turned it and pushed it towards me. And he said, fill in what amount you want. Ah, that's a good offer. Anyone ever had an offer like that? I had an offer like that. And said, just fill in whatever amount you like, come work for me. I had a good reputation. And they wanted me to come work for them. And I was going, I'm looking at the check and I'm thinking the number in my head and I'm thinking what the other number is when I'm going to be in the ministry. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you say, this is the way, walk in it. The best decision I ever made was to turn down the position and the money for the sake of the kingdom. Number four, he's my friend. Holy Spirit's my friend. Yep, he is your friend. Learn to talk to him. Who have you never talked to your friends? I mean, don't put up your hands because I might say something like, you suck at friendship. But you talk to your friends. You want to, you know, hello, you engage. You want to be friendly. Talk to him all day long. Ask him questions. Let him be your teacher. Let him be your guide. John 14:6, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Greek is parakletos, and that means when I pick up the one side of the heavy thing to carry, he's going to pick up the other side and help me carry it. Sorry for my back. Well, let me do it this way. When I pick up this heavy side, he's going to pick up that side and carry it for me. That's what parakletos means. He's going to come alongside and help us and move us to do it. I love what the benediction in 2 Corinthians, this is what it says. If you learn nothing else today, learn this. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's our connection. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A full diet of all three. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit in me, just in closing, as the living breath of God living in me, we want to make sure that we respect Him. We want to make sure that we revere His wonderful helper, who is my inner voice, who is my teacher, who is my guide and my friend. Ephesians 4:30. They're both up there. In ESV, where I read from, says, and do not grieve. If he's a cosmic force, then we can't grieve him. But as a person, we can grieve him. Just like we can grieve one another, which is what Janine was saying this morning. Don't do that. Go forward. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, to whom you were sealed by the day of redemption. If you go and read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 16, I think it is. God planned it. Jesus paid for it. Holy Spirit sealed it. That's the gospel in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 16, as I said. God had a plan. Jesus came to fulfill the plan and the Holy Spirit sealed it for us. As Jesus died on the cross and the Holy Spirit came, it was the sealing of the new covenant that we live in. The living breath of God, my teacher, Ephesians, and do not grieve, sorry. Ephesians 4:30, he says, don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. I don't think we think that way. We have a skewed view. Can I break God's heart? No, when his children behave badly, we break his heart. He's not going to jump up and punish us for it. Just because otherwise he would be an unfeeling dad, right? As a child of God, you might be mature and grown up, you're still a child of God, but you're also still a child of your parents. When we behave badly, we break their hearts. Young people, young adults, teenagers, don't break your parents' hearts. Don't fall into behavior that will. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take a gift for granted. It's the way the message puts it. And so here, to that end, there's just three prayers I want to help you with this morning to pray daily with the Holy Spirit in you. Number one, Holy Spirit, show me. It's not hard. It's not difficult. It's like, how many words do I have to learn? Well, here you have to learn four. Holy Spirit, show me. Ezekiel 36:26, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And be careful to obey my rules. That's a good father. It's not like, I'm not sure, I don't know what to do. No, he's being very clear. David, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there's any grievous or wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. If you give room to the Holy Spirit in your life, you won't need anything else. Can I say that again? If you give room to the Holy Spirit in your life, you won't need anything. Even when tough stuff happens, you'll go, I know my God is true and faithful. Holy Spirit, show me. Number two, Holy Spirit, change me. Right? Change Bridget, change Louise, change me. Janine wouldn't have known that I had this in my notes this morning. Be diligent with this. Take spiritual steps to change. Don't look back and say, man, I never grew spiritually. I know some of you will go, I don't grow spiritually, and you're going to blame me on the other pastors or your boss at work or your wife or your husband or your kids. Go look in the mirror and have a look and go, yeah, me. I never grew spiritually because of me. He is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. So it's not like this is a gray area on this one. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled faces behold the glory of the Lord. I didn't know they were going to sing that song this morning. Are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And we have to understand that he is the Spirit, but the point is, where we make him Lord, we have the Spirit of the Lord and he is free. And he is Lord of all, and the Spirit of all, and the freedom of all. But that might be for you and me, but for the person next to you, they don't see that. They haven't made that. So therefore, there is no liberty and freedom unless we make him Lord. That's some theology for you. Number three, Holy Spirit, fill me. Continually keep filling me. More of your work in my life, Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Sorry. Yep, I'm good. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. You need more than what you think working on the inside, in your heart and your mind, in changing you than on the outside. Acts 15:32, and his disciples were filled with joy with the Holy Spirit. And the last thing I want to say, and we're going to worship a bit, and I'm going to pray, and if you want to come forward, we'll pray for you to be filled again with the Holy Spirit. Allow Holy Spirit to work in us. Come, Kev, and the musicians. Allow him to work in us, because the point is, being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't make me better than you. It makes me better than me. Well, I speak in tongues every day, and I'm this, and I know how to carry my Bible at the right angle, and so I'm better than you. No, no, no. That's arrogance and pride. Being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't make me better than you. It makes me better than me. That's where we want to go, from that one degree of glory to another. We want to absorb his love for us. We want to allow him to work in us. We don't want to grieve Holy Spirit. We want a right view, not a skewed view of who He is. We want to step into everything that He has for us. We want to see the river flowing in freedom and liberty. And we want, I said this once and I got into so much trouble for it. People were offended at me, and I hope you get offended this morning. Because you can have as much of the Holy Spirit as you want. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force Himself upon you. He's going to come and speak and talk and say, listen to me, walk with me. I'll show you. I'll guide you. And you can go, yeah, no, not today. You can do that. That would grieve Him. That will hurt His heart. He's not going to give up on you. So here's my question to that. Why would you do that? Why would you not say, I want to abandon myself to Jesus. I want to abandon myself to the Father. Abandon myself to the Holy Spirit. I want all of that You have for me.